distinct the subject, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I try to simplify things, to make them as simple as possible. And I'm picking up pieces around it before I get right to the center of it. The first service, if you remember, about Christ, the mystery of God, we define what's a mystery. We refer to some mysteries that the Scripture refers to. Remember the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of resurrection, and so on. So we talk about these mysteries. And then the second service, if you remember, we start talking about God, how he created man to be in his image, and the reason that God created man. And I like today to cover some materials before the foundation of the world. Now, when we look at ourselves, we say, Brother David, what do we supposed to be doing here? If you, for example, stop for a minute and think where you're coming from, you might go as far as your father, your grandfather, your grand-grandfather, and then you lose track all the way down where you're coming from. But remember one thing for sure, that all of us came to the point to be called coming from Adam. I'm talking about Adam and Eve in Genesis 2. And when we go back and start studying ourselves, we know they fail and everything, the whole human race fall with it. But when you look at the scriptures, it's why God created man. To understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, you have to remember, God makes nothing by an accident. Nothing. So tonight we're going to start studying a little bit about the scriptures to see that before there was a world, you know, a few years ago, about 19 years ago, some of you were driving from the freeway to come here, 3 miles, and there was no homes at all. You remember that? There was nothing. Things changed. How can I describe to somebody there was nothing around but jackrabbits and coyotes and all these things? And today you can buy at the time probably $7,000, $6,000 an acre. Now you turn around, they ask $120,000 an acre, these people. And you look at the change that took place just in a miniature way. So if you start going back and back, you find the earth without a form. There was no homes around, no power poles, no cars, no nothing. It was without a form. And God starts speaking. He says, let there be light. And there was light. But when we start studying before the foundation of the world, in probably construction, you have a man that has an idea that he wants to build a building. And that idea, he takes it, goes to an architect, and the architect says, okay, how big the building, how many rooms, what you want to do with it. If it's a nursing home, let's have special facilities. If it's a hotel, will be something different. If it's just a home, will be different. All these things go together. But when you see now the architect start designing it, remember, the architect is designing what somebody else told him or something that he had in mind. But God doesn't go by accident. God makes everything exactly the way that should be. And God doesn't go back and change the plans. You see, the architect can go over to the main contractor and say, now, we want to extend this wall by 3 feet after he digs the foundation. Now, the contractor, what we'll do, we'll just extend the wall by 3 feet or tear down this wall and make a bigger auditorium, whatever it is. But God doesn't make mistakes like that. Or doesn't make any changes at all. He knew from the beginning to the end what's going to happen. And somewhere, before this world came to existence, you and I, we were in the mind of God. Do you know that? We were in the mind of God. Now, when we read the scriptures and we see the foundation of the world, we read on the original text a word, which is before ktino, who means before, before really thesis is what you build. But the word there means like, if I had a seed of corn now, and here's the environment of the earth, and it's fertilized and everything, and I said, before I drop that seed into the ground, you see, that means before that life, that power of God that spoke to create the world, somewhere way back there, how long, Brother David? I will say right from the beginning. Do you know why? God is an object of worship. And God wants to create a man to worship Him, to love Him. And when we see at God, we see something that's a Savior. And you got to have some fallen race, somebody to fall to prove Himself or to bring this attribute up that He's a Savior. He wants to tell you He loves you. He wants to tell you He wants to heal you. And all these attributes, that Spirit of God that was moving upon the earth on Genesis 2, God says, I'm going to make a body. And He make a body for Himself. Remember, He took His attributes and He put them right into Christ. And He takes these attributes now, and on the basis of these attributes, remember, on the basis of these attributes now, God created man in His own mind. How many billion years before? I don't know. But I believe God knew right then Brother Craig. And He knew Lisa. He knew each one of us. He knew them. And He knew them before there. And He says, I'm going to make this and this and that. And progressively now, remember, progressively, I'm going to start revealing myself of what's going on. Now, there are scriptures for these things. We're going to go in a few minutes and start looking at the scriptures. Now, when God said my attributes is going to be in that body of Christ, remember, He didn't say now, He's going to do that and I'm going to do that. No, because Christ is God. And He said this, all things were created by Him. Everything you see, Christ created it. Do you know that? And He knew what God, what He was doing because He was God. So we read through the prophets. We read through the Gospels. We read things and we see that power before the foundation of the world start unveiling itself. And when we get to the true revelation of Christ and we see Him coming on earth, and then, all of a sudden, He reveals Himself progressively. You see God's love and God's mercy to save the sinner. Now, last week, we brought a verse there, a scripture, you remember? That was in Colossians 3:10. And we spoke about being in the image of Him that created us. Now, you say, Brother David, how this can be done? He is going to take care of it. He says He's going to do it. You try to do it, you cannot do it. You know, the hardest thing for me sometimes to do, you know what it is? To surrender and have total confidence that He takes care of it. Sometimes I feel I hold myself, I hold everything together. But you know, you hold nothing. God holds you. And once we overcome that, to know that we are sons and daughters of God, and God is going to keep us. And I have in mind three things. Number one, the lost, to try to serve the lost. Number two, to keep the ones that they are saved. What can I do in the gospel to keep them? What I'm talking about, the power of the Word of God that can be demonstrated so we can keep them. And number three, you know, after you keep them, if anybody falls, to have the heart or to have the Spirit of Christ to restore that one. We tend to have in mind to kick them, you know, but God never ordained that, you know. He says, restore such one. You know, the first thing we do, oh, she did this, he did that, kick them, you know, no good. But just wait for a minute. You know, how do you like to kick David? But God didn't kick out David, did He? Huh? He picked up David, He says, that's the man after my own heart. That's it. So now God going in His Word, and He gave us a picture of what he had way back in His mind, what He was going to do. In the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, Matthew 13 and starting from the 34th verse to the 35th, Matthew, the 13th chapter, 34 and 35th. And those things spoke Jesus unto the multitudes in parables. And without a parable speak he not unto them. Remember, he speaks to the multitudes now in parables. Now, there are many times we read in the scriptures that God speaks to the multitudes in parables because they are blinded. But God speaks to the individuals, you know that? Did you notice something? Well, God saved you and me. You didn't have to bring your whole family and you say, come on over, help me, I want to get saved. No, God saved you, right? If you start dealing with you as an individual, you try to explain to your family, they don't understand that. Why? God speaks to the multitudes in one way. He says nothing to the multitudes except by parables. Now you say, Brother David, where do you get that? In Psalm 78:2, if you go to the Old Testament to bring it to a new, if you're writing scriptures. And then he says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now what Christ is going to do, can you tell me? He is going to start speaking and start unveiling secrets that they were kept before this world was founded. So you see, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? He reveals the mystery of God from the beginning, and he comes here to die for you and I. At the bottom line, what is it, Brother David? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why Christ in me? Because God is the object of worship, and he calls you to worship him. Think of it now. God called you with his love. He prepared a place for you. He prepared everything. And you see, I might be tired. You never be tired in the other side of worshiping God. You never be sick. You never be tired. You don't have to try. You do it because that's your nature. I love that, don't you? Sometimes we worship God and we feel kind of exhausted and we say, now, let's stop it. I'm tired. No, you're not tired when you worship God. You can just stand and sit down and think of the grace of God, what he has done for you, and you're weeping. You cannot express it. You don't know how. The only thing you do, you cry. But I'm doing nothing. I say nothing. I don't pray. People say sometimes, the people kneel down and I hear a little bit things and I don't, nobody screams. You don't have to scream. You remember in Romans, he says, we utter words that we don't even know what it is. With groanings, the Spirit prayeth in us. What Spirit? The Spirit of Jehovah in you, worshiping God. That attribute of God is manifested in you. So we know then that Christ came over to reveal certain things. And in Matthew 25, now I'm just look all the way down on the other side of before the world was created. And let's look back there. And then we look in Matthew 25, the 34th verse. God speaking and says this. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So before there was a world like that, God knew you. God knew me. He prepared a kingdom, is waiting for you. And you see, people say, now God is going to give you the keys. You don't need the keys because nobody steals there. Can you imagine living in a place going, oh, good morning, brother. Good morning, sister. What beautiful thing it is, right? When did he do that? Before the foundation of the world? He says, Christ says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. How come that he says he has done that before the foundation of the world? As far as you and I are concerned, in the mind of God, everything was there. Calvary was completed. Redemption was done. picks you up, picks me up. He says, now, here is the house that I'm going to prepare for Sister Iris. Lord, is that mine? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start, you know, weeping and crying, worshiping God and loving Him. He says, that's what you're mine. Nothing is going to touch you anymore. Nothing is going to bother you anymore. I am God. I keep you. So that kingdom that you see, before you start putting, all people say, now, Christ says, I will prepare a place for you. But in the mind of God, it was already there. It's just like it was done. The architect drew the plan already. And you say, then why Christ says, prepare a place for you? Because after resurrection, he took everything in his hands. Went back there to do it. Now, continuing, you find in Luke 49, I'm just showing you some things here. In Luke, the 11th chapter, Luke 11, starting from the 49th verse, 11:49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. He says, that the blood of the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. What? Are you telling me that the prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they were killed before the foundation of the world? God knew each one of them. And God, in His plan, He's a judge. He's merciful. He's love. But He doesn't compromise with His word. So He used these prophets as subjects to be killed. Why? The scripture says this. May require thy blood from them of that generation. The master plan of God. He manifests now all His attributes. You say, I haven't done anything to them and they spit at me. I haven't done anything to them and they hate me. You know, the saints shall judge the earth, the world, this earth, the people. You stand there like a judge. God permitted them to do that. Do you know, we feel that everything when God is, everything will be rosy. But just remember, it's not like that. God permits things to happen to fulfill the master plan when? Since the foundation of the world. Before there was a world. All the way back there. Have you ever read and studied very closely this statement? That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. So the prophets prophesy. They spoke about the mysteries of God. They said, this is a mystery. This is what's going to happen. And when we start getting to the subject, Christ, the mystery of God revealed in a very detail, you see God making a body coming down. The prophets prophesy about it. Some song about it. And here in the New Testament, He's born. The most insignificant thing in a barn, that's where He was born. But all of a sudden, He was moving. The Redeemer of the whole world. No place to lay His head. No show, no Cadillacs, no nothing. What happened to redeem you and I? Became the least to be able to reach the least. So now God says, these prophets that you read here, the prophets, which He says was shed from the foundation of the world. With other words, Mr. Isaiah, I don't know the death of Isaiah. I don't remember if I read it. Mr. Isaiah, you die then, but I'm telling you, you didn't die then. God knew it and permitted for you to die so I can require your blood from them. I'm a judge. There's a subject that I don't want to bring it up here. But if you had 6 months to study it, let me make it in a short statement. You study in the New Testament that Cain was from the evil one. And you go back to Genesis 4, and you find out God speaking to Cain, and He says, you are his firstborn. You are You are his beginning, God speaks to Cain. Let me point you the verse. You might like to look at it when you go home. Back in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. Listen at the 7th verse very close. I better don't, because that serpent seed doctrine, you see the true seeds, he's my chosen ones. God has chosen people. Listen to what he says now. If thou dost well, that's the big if, right? Can he do well? It proves no. Shall thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That word, thou shalt rule over him, it's not there. It says, see axis of two, which means, and you're his beginning. He tells Cain that's his beginning, not my beginning, neither our beginning. It's you're his beginning. You study that. And then you go to the New Testament to find out he was from the evil one. But God has a bride that he calls, a special group of people that he's dealing with. And now we see that God, with all the mysteries that we are reading and what God has and what God is planning to do, we can see now very clear that we come now to a very strong verse. Ephesians 1:4. Let's look at that. And I know after that we've got plenty of materials, but we have to continue. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, you look at yourself, you say, I'm 20, I'm 30, I'm 50, I'm 60. And I came to the Lord 6 months ago, 2 years ago, a year ago. That's the time you fulfill the Word of God, what's for you. God knew you before the foundation of the world. God called you. Now listen to the calling. Listen to what it says. According as he hath chosen us. That word chosen us is not I have a hat full of numbers and I pick up this number and note this and this number. No. You know how you got me called? By the word of God. Eklego is ek. And out is the word. You are called out from this world by the word. And you say, I'm predestinated. You know why? Because the word is predestinated. Nothing will change the word of God. You become part of the Word, and God keeps moving on you. He says, keep on moving, boy. Keep on going. Why? Because God called you and told you to keep on going, and that's what you're supposed to do. I'll give you 4 verses, 4 areas. Just read them when you go home. That's Romans 8:29-31. Let's look at this, because we have to match it together with Ephesians. Romans, the 8th chapter. Listen what the scripture says now. The 29 to the 31st verse. I'm discussing tonight before the foundation of the world. Listen, God was not only before the foundation of the world, it was you there too. And God knew you. And God will never let you be lost. You see, it's that bad. You look at Corinthians, a man was living with his own mother. And he's cast that one, his flesh, in the hands of Satan, so his soul may be delivered in the day of the Lord. God knows you and knows me. And forget this, I'm going to be lost. You're going to have the up and downs? Plenty. You're going to be like a yo-yo. But God keeps his eye on you. God doesn't save you to lose you, Brother Branham said that. So now you start looking there on the Romans 8, the 29th verse. He says, what do you say? For whom did he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Do you know that God foreknew you? Oh, you say, how did she knew me? From my mother? No, no, way back there. Forget about your granddaddy. Forget about Adam. Forget about everybody. Before there was the world, before there was any waters in the sea, before there was nothing, you were in God right back there. And God comes to redeem. That's where you come with the doctrine of adoption. Adoption, friends, is not an agency that you go and pick up another child. Adoption is iotheto, the placement of a son. Ios is a son. Theto is place. Iotheto means I place a son. God now knows you. He pulls you to himself and places you in the body of Christ. We have a beautiful gospel, don't we? You see, Brother David, are you trying to tell me now I was before the foundation of the world? In the mind of God, you were right there. He foreknew you. You don't have to tell him, I'm here. You trace yourself back, and you find out God said he foreknew you before the foundation of the world. He knew what you are, what you're going to do. He foreknew you. Let me give you a little swing of doctrine here. That's how God is able to separate you from Cain and Abel. The two seeds there. God knows you who you are. And when he came down, he had every name. The Lamb was to be slain before the foundation of the world. You go to the book of Revelation, he says, whose name was not written in the Lamb's book of life since when? Before the foundation of the world. Way back there. Now you see your way back, your descent. And when we start looking at Christ, we'll see the attributes that he picked up. Make a body for himself. Call Christ the Anointed. Comes down. Start fulfilling these attributes. To do what? To pick up a bride. To redeem a group into himself. So they can worship him and love him. And when you take that inheritance, he's the firstborn among many brethren. How do you like today to say, Gordon to stand up and say to me, my brother is Jesus. You know what the people are going to do outside in the world? Stone him. But look at the scripture. He says, the firstborn of many brethren. And when Jesus died, he says, go and tell my brethren. How do you like to pick up one of the sisters and says, Jesus is my brother. You know what they're going to do? Lock you up. You're out of your mind. But that is the predestined plan of God. That's why God brought him down. The form of a man in the book of Philippians. He emptied himself. That's the kenosis theory. Kenomis, empty. To empty himself, become a man to redeem you and I. He says, who's he foreknew? He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How do you like that? He foreknew you before there was a world. Jesus was to die before there was a world. And he knew that you and I were brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. That's it. We belong to the family of God. I'm simplifying things. I don't want to rush through there. I'd rather take, you know, a little at a time. And if we have to, we'll finish with the tapes Sunday night of Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I can cover a few more later after you hear it. Because God is God. Now, God says, he foreknew you, and what is it? You are part of the family of God. And what that means, Brother David, I'm going to inherit with him. Me to inherit with him, I don't have any money. Praise God, he got the money. You be redeemed, and you are part of that. He says, what else am I supposed to do? Just go on with him and ignore what's going on around you. Why? Because we sometimes are so temporary minded. Oh, I suffer. I cannot take it anymore. Not you, me first. I mean, today I just, anytime you study subjects like that, you know what happened? You get beat up. Study the refrigeration was going on, 116 degrees outside, 118, whatever it was. That's what's happening. I don't bother anybody. I'm just trying to study. But no matter what happened, God permits everything, right? It is on the way. It keeps on going. So after he foreknew you now, he said, not you and I, we are part of him. And we inherit with him. Here's the kingdom. Christ is the firstborn. You go back to the Old Testament, find out the rights of the firstborn, and then the rest of the brothers, all of them inherit. That's what it is. Now, looking at this, we can see now very clear that before there was a world, and he continues, moreover, he says, whom did he predestinate, them he also called. You say, what do you mean call? Do you know that when you got saved, you didn't call yourself, God called you? Do you know that? Why? I felt the Lord warns me, and I, that big guy, and I respond to God, and I went to the altar, and I give my heart to the Lord, and I did this, and I repented. You have done nothing. Forget that, I throw it out of the way. He called you, predestinated you, and everything. Yes, just in you, you didn't know what you were doing, and somebody was pushing you, and you say, I can't stand it, I need God. The world, I give up to this world. And then you say, I come to worship God, and I get beat up worse. But you remember, you know where you're going. Before you knew nothing. So God now says this. He predestinated you. He called you. And whom he says he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, then he glorified. You say, Brother David, I got saved. In the outline that I prepare, I have a portion there about justification. What's justification by faith? And sanctification by faith. And you see, justification means you stand before the judge and all the guilt is removed. And you say, what this means? Potentially, you're already glorified. What does it mean, glorified, being with Jesus? You say, Brother David, I'm still in this earth, but I'm walking in paradise. My soul walks there, waits for it. And I don't care what the devils are going to do around. I'm keep on walking with him and keep on moving. And I say, praise the Lord for what God has done. You know, sometimes I feel bad today. I said, Lord, here's my brother-in-law calling me. And here he started receiving and sponging the message. I see the scriptures and everything. You know, I never forgot. I said to him, Eddie, look, I said, don't believe all this doctor this and doctor that. They're fake. As for their credentials, they don't have any. I'll give you from the Bear Index of the universities. It has it, the Bear Index. For $32, I think, you can pay and get a doctor's degree. Do you know that? $32. You got an honorary doctor's degree. And that $32 that you pay, the man that issues, he cannot read or write. And issues these degrees in New York. And the article says over 30,000 degrees have been granted, doctor's degrees, through that man. I said to him, don't listen to these people. So he looked at my sister, he said to her, that's where our pastor got his doctor's degree. I said, I don't want to get in a family dispute right here. But I'll find it. If you want to look at it, you're welcome. I have a Xerox copy of that page. The address to write and so on. I was going to do a joke to send a couple of 3 ministers a doctor's degree, pay the money similarly to them. You know? But what is it? He says now, he says you don't have to have any honor. He doesn't say you have to be nice looking. He doesn't say that you have to have money. Just to be in Jesus. Just to be called to be part of it. You say now, forget all these eyes. You know? Ask no honor among men. We are not supposed to ask honor. Supposed to be humble. You know? what difference it makes here and here, all of us, we are getting there. Did you ever thought the greatest equality that you ever have, you get in a box that's about 6 feet long, all of you buried in the same ground? What else you want? It's over. That's your equality there. Yeah? You know? You want equal rights? You give them. What do you get with you? Nothing. Nothing. Everything stays here. Nothing else. Now, listen what he says. He says, them he has already glorified. What shall we then say to those things? If God be with us, who can be against us? And closing that portion with the following verse, he says, he that spared not his own son, now you get to the revelation of Jesus Christ, but delivered him up from us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? Did you hear what he said? Freely, not stingy. Freely. Have you ever been in a place, you know, I see sometimes when Herb and Grace come down, they go over, open the car, pick up a glass, get water, open to the refrigerator or something, they eat or something, you know. They never ask. And I'm glad. You know, can you imagine now sharing with Jesus? You know what? You see, Brother David, I'll be sitting there. It says, amen, amen. Have you ever thought what's the glory? And you're supposed to be his glory? And I'm supposed to be his glory? Have you ever thought about these things? I'm just all the way now before the foundation of the world. When you go home, read John 17:2. John 17:2. Two more references. John 6, 37, 39, and 44. And John 10, 39. Now, when you start looking now at these scriptures, the first thing you start seeing is that I got to shake myself. You know, people believe in reincarnation. You become a fly or a cow or something, you know. But you see, you don't get reincarnated because you cannot. You know why? Because you are made to the image of God, and you cannot disturb the image of God. He made you like that. That's how you're going to be. You are not going to become a cow. Because that's what God made you like. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. It's time to close. And I'll continue probably Sunday with some more materials. More materials here about election. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and so on. We're going to go through these materials. Let's outline a few things so that we can start putting things together. You see, Brother David, what are you doing in the revelation of Jesus Christ? I'm tracing you and me back before this world existed. Period. And here you walk and you talk and you visit and you do all these things because he has done it all and you and I have done nothing. We have done nothing, but he has done it all. So now, when we keep on moving toward God, we start seeing now, God made a man in his image. Now we can see, where did you come from? Before the foundation of the world, he knew you. He knew you had, you know what I believe? I believe God knew how many hairs you got in your head. Every little thing. He watches you. And you and I were so carnal-minded. Oh, what's going to happen? Everything's fall apart. Me first. What is going on? Nothing's going to fall apart. If he's under control, nothing's happening. He has come under control everything. You say, but look what happened to the saints, the master. They killed him and so on. Look what the scripture tells you. He permitted for the prophets to be killed so he can require that blood from that generation. You say, what about me that die? You look only a few years. He looks eternity. I believe in that day of judgment, you see people like Savannah Ross standing up and condemning the Catholic Church. He says, depart from me, go to hell, all of you. Wow, it's finished. I believe that. Because the Scripture says the saints shall judge the earth. I shed my blood for the gospel, and you kill me, and that blood is on your hands. Offenses of the blood is one of the most serious things. And I believe that. We live in a time now, looking back what we study. I believe we're entering to the time to see, very soon in the next few services, to see the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. You know, these things were illustrated to us by Brother Branham how many times. He says, he said, they found out he was walking proud and going on because he says, he was, although he was a slave, he said, his father was the king back in the homeland. And you and I were a slave in Sodom right here, if you believe it or not. Not really slaves, you know, subject to the circumstances. You get beat up, you get spit on. What do you think is going to happen in the day of judgment when a sister will stand up with her long hair and condemn all these Jezebels? Don't you think they will? They will. You know what they're going to say? I manifest the headship of Christ. I cover my head as a type of Christ and His bride. And you, religious prostitutes, sing on channel 21, jumping up and down. You are nothing but hell material. Exactly the truth. Let's face it. Don't think that God doesn't see you. Oh, you know, I did this, I did that. That's some portions here to study. He says, Lord, what have done this, where that? He says, as much as you have done to my little ones, not every little one, to my little ones, you have done it unto me. So God, at the end, when we see God raising up, you know, and judge the world, all the saints will appear. Can you imagine seeing these saints that are burning them alive, kicking them around? How would you like to have the job of the work of Moses? How do you like that? I mean, you upset two Jews, and you got problems. You hear them all on the block from there in a restaurant. That's no good. That's a friend of mine owns a couple of big restaurants in Scottsdale. He said to me, you can see them coming. I said, what do? He says, they don't like this, they don't like that. He says, what I told my waitress to do, he says, okay, we'll take it, and what, any change they do from what we got, charge them. Charge them. Charge them. Charge them. He says, that's what you should do. Because no matter what are you going to give them, they're going to complain. When they start paying, then they think it over twice. Well, nothing against the Jews. The rest of us are the same. You know? Closing. Each one of us is different. But there's no gospel for the Jews, gospel for the Gentiles. One Christ, one gospel. You know? We embrace Him, one Jehovah, one resurrected Christ, that He knew you and me. Get your mind out of this world. Get your mind where you were at, and God knew you. He said, Lord, I'm suffering. Do you understand, Lord? Then if you'll scream more, Lord, you understand, I'm suffering. God says, these prophets got burned, killed. And I'm going to require the blood, their blood from that generation. Why? It's a master plan of God. Nothing to confuse. Praise the Lord, right? You love the word? So much. Think about the prophets. Now, can you imagine God said, now these prophets, Savonarola, the rest of the martyrs, the Old Testament, this all, you kill them all, Jesus said. Can you imagine? How come let them kill? Be killed? They should stand up and strike all the whole crowd dead. God says through that, my attribute as a judge will be manifested. You know, can you imagine God permitted his own sons and daughters to be killed, their babies to cut their throats? What do you think is going to happen in the day of judgment? When these people are going to raise up and gods and all these, they kill them. Because I'm going to require the blood from this generation. Period. Why? My attribute is to be a judge. And I let my own sons, my own daughters, to be killed and be persecuted so I can require the blood from that generation, from this serpent seed material. He says, oh, nobody kills anybody. Look around. You know? One little one. Don't offend them, he said. Watch them. Let's stand. Father God, your word is precious, Lord. So much there, Lord, we cannot cover this material. But Lord, we're just moving one step at a time. And we know, Lord, that you start opening to be able to see, Lord, that we're not here by accident. You knew each one of us. Our trials, our testings, our sorrows. Lord, things that we go through. Lord, we read tonight that the prophets were killed so that their blood would be required from the generations. What about our generation, Lord? Lord, forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be as lambs, not as wolves, Lord, but lambs, to present ourselves without blemish in that day. Thank you for each one here tonight, Lord, in the Bible study. Lord, protect us and guide us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.